But when I lost Mark, it's like it took a piece of me with him. Then I lost my partner, Mark's dad. So it's been a terrible year. Terrible. I'm now on medication. I wasn't on medication before, but I'm on medication. This is why I feel a bit stronger, but I'm not. I'm breaking down inside, but I've got to be strong for Mark's children and my other son.
How's that made you feel over the last year?
I don't really trust the police because it took them a month to tell me Mark died. And really and truly, the investigations that they're all going through, we're not getting no answers from them. So how will we ever get justice? They need to apologise properly to me, which they have, but why is it they're not giving statements? Because other people have to give statements. Why are they holding that back? Because I don't think we'll ever get justice unless they start talking.
Has anyone from the Met Police ever sort of sat you down and looked you in the eye and apologised? Have you ever had a personal apology from them?
Yes, I had one from Matt Christie, yeah. He did come and he sat in my garden and apologised to me. But that was a bit late, wasn't it? Because if it was any other crime, the police would be at my door. They didn't come to my door, I seen it off the telly. And then it's my friend and I couldn't believe it, I still didn't believe it. The day I really believed it in my heart was when I buried him. Because I wasn't told about Mark's death. That's what he came to apologise for.
Not for Mark's death?
No. The lack of not telling me his mother when he died. No other apologies for nothing else, no.
And as you sort of, you must have thought about that and thought about how you feel towards the police. What conclusions have you drawn? What's your overarching feeling towards them now?
Towards who?
The Metropolitan Police.
Well, I've got no trust in them no more. I trusted him once, but I've got no trust in them because if they can't come and tell me my son's dead and making me not believe it's my son, how would you feel? Furthermore, you know, like they've got everyone talking and this and that, but why can't they make statements?
What sort of statements would you like them to make?
The statements, well...
As to what took place.
Like how they want people to talk about Mark. Well, why can't they talk about Mark themselves? Someone know what happened that night, don't they? But they're not letting us know. Why is that?
Basically, the police haven't made statements yet. So because the police have not made any statements and it's almost a year on, that doesn't give us any faith in the police at all because of them, the case is being held up. So basically it's going to have to go to court and they're going to be forced to give statements. So as a family, that doesn't make us feel good because it feels to us like they're hiding something and they're delaying for time. So really, that's why we don't have any trust in the police and not much in the IPCC either. That's what my sister's trying to explain.
Throughout the year, obviously with all this going on in the background, the family name has been probably in every newspaper, on every TV news programme at some point. What's that been like for you as someone within that family?
Well, it's been disgusting because I don't know why our names are in the paper so much or anything. You know, like I said, they portrayed Mark, the person he wasn't. You know, like even with the riots, they put Mark's picture next to the riots and things like that. Mark and my family does not condone violence. Mark was a peacemaker.
So how do you feel about
that portrayal? I don't like the way that they keep putting us in the papers, connecting with those other people and this and that, because it's not right. That's why I don't do stories no more.
As a family, obviously, Bruno, you believe, has been affected by it as well.
Yes.
How has it changed, I mean, the family?
Just before that, I would like to say, like, they portray Mark as a gangster. Mark comes from a very, very loving family. No violence. He doesn't like violence. Mark would stop a fight. He don't care who it is. But that's it. What do you say about Bruno?
I was going to say that the events of the last year, you know, must have changed everything in the family's world. Can you talk about that? Like, how has your life personally changed? How have the relationships within your family changed?
Oh, our relationships are good, but I lost my partner. He had cancer. But the stress of Mark, I believe, triggered the cancer more to spread, because he would not talk about Mark. He wouldn't believe his son was not here. And the last things he said before he went to a hospice, "I just want justice for my son." So.
And do you believe he got it before he died?
No. No, he didn't. He died of a broken heart. Plus his illness. Because that's when I see Bruno go down the drain, when they killed Mark.
How would Bruno act when Mark's name came up, or the conversation turned to Mark?
He wouldn't talk about Mark. He couldn't talk about Mark. Because that was his son. And he just don't believe, like I did, that he's not here. So that took him to the grave with Mark.
And also the circumstances of his death. How he died.
He died because of what happened to Mark. Because he just kept seeing people come to my house asking me stupid questions and this and that. And he was just lying there until eventually he weren't strong enough to hold on. He wanted to hold on just to get justice for Mark. Because he knew his son wasn't that person. But now he's with Mark, so maybe that's a better choice for him. Because he wanted to be with Mark, but he didn't want to leave me and his other children. He didn't want to go. He was strong. He wanted to hold on. He wanted to fight. Because he was saying, I'm going to fight this. But he couldn't fight in the end.
How strong have you had to be over the last year? Very strong.
Very strong. I had to be strong. I'm not. But when I sit back and think, I need to talk about Mark because he was my son. But like I said, the medication helps me through. That's why I'm on medication, because what happened to Mark. But I know what I'm doing, I know what I'm saying. It just takes the edge off my... Otherwise, I'd be crying every day, breaking down. And I've got another son to think about, and my grandchildren. And Mark's children.
Do you remember the person you were before all this happened? Do you remember that person?
The person I was before this happened to Mark. Well, I was much happier. I don't go out anywhere. I don't mix with anyone. I just like being on my own. It's just changed me, because every day I think Mark's going to walk in my back garden. That's the last time I see Mark in my back garden. So when I'm in that back garden, I've got a little garden there for Mark. I just sit there and think about Mark. It's affected me a lot, yeah.
If you can you talk about the last time you saw him?
The last time I saw him was in the garden. He came in the garden. And it was a sunny day, and I was sat there, and he come for his brother, Marlon, and his friend. He was going up to the cemetery. And he said he was just going to buy a kebab. He bought me a kebab, and he was eating it, and then he kissed me. And Mark never says, "I love you." You know, I know he loves me, but this day he just said, "I love you, Mum." And he went to the cemetery, and that's the last time I see Mark. That's why when they go in the garden, I like being in there, because I can still see him standing there, if you understand what I mean.
Is there a certain part of the garden you go to?
Yeah, the corner where I've made a little...
Mark's garden.
It's Mark's garden. It's got a rose bush and all that lot in there. Yeah. That's Mark's garden.
When you have in your mind that image of Mark, how does he look? What does he look like?
What does he look like?
Well, what's he doing? What's he wearing? What's his expression?
The day when I see him last.
When
shorts, t-shirt, and smiling, happy. That's how I see him. That's how I see him now.
Will you be able to forgive the people that took him away from you?
No. No. I mean, they're not even owning up to it, aren't they? Can't.
And if we move back a bit further, growing up, what was he like? What was he like as a boy?
Well, I think my sister should talk about that bit because she had him for a while with her. But he was a nice boy.
He was nice, very shy. He was very shy growing up, very pleasant. Well, he was painfully shy, really. And I think when my sister said Mark was known as a peacekeeper, I think that happened as he got older and found himself, because his shyness held him back as a youth, you know. But he was intelligent, he got a good education, and he loved life, and he made the most of every day. And that's in a positive way. And that's how Mark was, that's how he lived. He made everybody around him happy, he was always smiling, you know. He was a really nice guy.
Is there a sort of a moment that you shared with him that particularly sticks in your mind? Something that when you think of him and makes you smile?
Yeah.
What was it?
I shared a lot with Mark because he was very easygoing and he was very approachable. But I remember one event that sticks, and I see Mark. When I think of Mark, I can see him dancing and smiling. And that was a sad occasion. That was on the funeral of his daughter that died at birth. And after the funeral, we decided that we was going to celebrate that baby's life. And that's what I remember. I remember Mark dancing and his coat was swinging and he was smiling, because he was always smiling, you know. Everybody knows his sad face or his mad face because he didn't see it that often, you know. He did. He was a kind of happy-go-lucky guy, and he did make the most of each day.
And can I, and this might be a bit of a difficult territory for you, Pam, but the night that you started to hear that something might have happened to Mark, do you remember that? Do you remember what happened on that Thursday?
Well, my friend's daughter came and sat with me, and her phone kept ringing. Then it come on the news about someone being shot or something. And then I kept saying, what's wrong? What's wrong? Is something going on? Because everyone's phones was ringing and it's like they was keeping it away from me. So in the end now, it was his girlfriend, Simone. She had to come to my door. She had to come for his birth certificate. That's when I knew. Because she passed out near enough on my door, because she had to get the birth certificate off me to make sure that was marked down.
We still didn't know.
But I still didn't know at that point, because first of all, they said it's some Asian guy. And then I thought, well, it can't be Mark. And then eventually, the final blow, it came on the news that it was Mark.
That night?
Yeah, and I just collapsed in my friend's arms. And I still didn't believe it.
But it hadn't been confirmed by the police.
That's why I didn't believe it.
And for it was 4 weeks.
Four weeks.
That the police actually came to notify us, to give us the deliver the death message, and that's why they had to publicly apologise to us, because they didn't carry out their duty. So they left it really. They left us in limbo. Although we did know it was Mark, it had not been confirmed by any authorities.
So, Pam, you said you didn't believe it at that point.
No. I didn't believe it, no. I thought he would kill my son. You know.
But the way it was, the way we heard on the news as well was like a media frenzy of lies and deceit, because they made him out to be a gangster, had a shootout, had a gun. And again, all of that was proved to be untrue. And again, they've had to come and apologise to the family. I think three occasions during this case they've had to come and apologise to us for things that they've done wrong, failures. So we've been really, really treated badly by the authorities, by the police and by the IPCC.
And those, well, untruths that were put out about the fact that there was an exchange of fire, that the, you know, a bullet from a gun had landed in a police radio that was supposed to be part of this shootout. And I'll ask you both separately if you don't mind. Do you think that that was accidental and an accidental thing that happened, or do you think that that was a deliberate attempt to portray Mark in a bad light?
I believe it was a deliberate attempt to make him somebody that they wanted to believe, you know, like they wanted to make him sound like a gangster, sensationalise it, then the public, general public, will believe that he couldn't be innocent. And you still hear that now, people saying, well, he must have done something for them to shoot him dead. So I believe that was all done purposely to justify them shooting him twice and for 31 officers to be following him around. Mark was just an ordinary guy. One officer could have took Mark down physically because he was only a slim guy. He wasn't no martial arts expert or anything, you know, he was just an ordinary guy. So, you know, the whole surroundings of it has been done purposely to make the public believe that he was a bad guy and he had done something wrong. All now, a year on, we don't know what he did. We don't know, you know, obviously why they shot him, because the police have not made any statements at all up till this point. And we're thinking if this is all a straightforward case, they would have made statements by now. So we believe they're hiding something from the family and from the public. Because if it turns out that they illegally shot him dead, then the public are going to lose faith in the police force in general, aren't they? So they have to keep slandering us, they have to keep this propaganda up like we're some kind of gangster family, and we're not. We're here now to prove that we're just an ordinary family. And basically we really need now for these officers to come out, make statements. We need to get a public inquest with a jury of ordinary people. As you see, I don't know if you know, are aware of the Sean Rigg case. Well, that case proves that we need an inquest with a jury of ordinary people to try and get to the truth of what happened. Because of all the secret laws, everything's being held from us. And I believe, really, if it was such a straightforward case, it would have been dealt with by now, or something. We would have got something by now, and we've got nothing, not even police statements.
Pam, can I ask you a similar question? Would you agree with your sister on that? This idea that there was misinformation deliberately put out?
Yeah, I do agree. Yeah.
I mean, I've heard you call what happened to Mark an assassination. Is that what you believe?
Yeah, I do. He wasn't murdered or killed, he was assassinated, because I'm saying, why would 31 officers be around one man? They knew it was one man. And shoot him twice. Yeah, I don't call it shooting or whatever, I call it assassination. They assassinated my son, the one or whoever done it. Yeah.
If I could get the commissioner of the Met Police in front of you now, what would you say to him? What would you ask him? What would you tell him?
Pull your finger out and get the job done. Because obviously it's his staff members that are responsible for this, and yet his staff members are not willing to give statements. In an ordinary case, that would be done, wouldn't it? What else can we say? We want answers. We want an inquest. and it's the Metropolitan Police that are holding everything up. For some reason, we don't know why, but that only adds suspicion.
And Pam, same question to you. The commissioner is sitting where I'm sitting now. What do you say to him? What do you ask him?
What do I ask him? Why did one of your officers kill my son? That's what I'd ask him. Why can't they give evidence like anyone else? Why did one of your officers, don't care what police station you come from, kill my son? Assassinated him. I keep saying kill. Well, that's what I'd like to ask him.
And then when you've got, like, the secret law, the Ripper law, again, that doesn't give us much faith, because they're using that to withhold giving information, important information, information that we as a family really do need to know, because we need to know what happened to Mark. We need to know what he was doing. Even if he was doing something wrong, we need to know what he was doing that day that warranted 31 officers to be following him around London and to shoot him twice. And he was on his own. They were like a gang attacking one person. That's why my sister assumes like it's an assassination, because it was a gang of 31 against one person. And he was shot twice, which is, I think, unnecessary.
Do you think any good whatsoever, whatever come from what's happened over the last year, is there any way you can make such terrible events have a positive, some sort of positive outcome?
At the moment, we can't really say, because, we don't know. Once the police start talking and get the ball rolling, then we'll be in a better position to answer that question. But we basically just know as much as the public do. So once they start talking and giving statements and move the case along, then we'll know more. We'll know more about it and be able to answer that question. Right now, we can't.